In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I greet you on this Thanksgiving weekend. It's unusual for a priest to greet you on a civil holiday, but Thanksgiving is among the best of our civil holidays. It's a civil holiday that is pleasing in the sight of God. It's a time where we give thanks to Him for everything that He's given to us. All of the material and spiritual blessings, everything that He's poured out upon us, knowing that every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of lights. Thanksgiving, like many of our civil holidays, or even some of our religious holidays, though, can lose something of its meaning, something of the depth that's there. People can lose sight of what happened historically, why we're celebrating this or that event. And people can lose sight of the spiritual meaning behind the day. Certainly, Thanksgiving can be deprived of gratitude and appreciation to God. It can become something less than it should be. We think about Thanksgiving weekend, and there are a number of days that follow Thanksgiving Day. What's the day after Thanksgiving Day? Black Friday. Black Friday. And why is it named Black Friday? That's right. It's a day for business. It's a day for commerce. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But there could be something wrong with the fact that after giving thanks to God on Thanksgiving Day, people run out to the stores and they trample on one another to get all the things that they don't yet have. What's the next day? Small Business Saturday. And there's something that could be good about that too, that we're supporting small businesses. Nothing wrong with that. But again, it's a day of commerce. It's a day of buying things and accumulating things. What do we have then? Sunday, which thankfully hasn't yet been taken away from the Lord. But there will be something coming, I'm sure, for Sunday. What's Monday? Cyber Monday. More spending, right? What's Tuesday? This is kind of the end of all of these days. Anyone know what Tuesday is?
Giving Tuesday.
Interesting. After all these days of spending, then we have giving. Wonder how much is left for Giving Tuesday. Probably not too much. Although actually, some will joke that there's actually a name for Wednesday. And what's Wednesday? Weeping Wednesday. It's the day that the bill comes in from all the previous days. You know, I make a joke of it, and it's funny. But there's also something very tragic, something very bankrupt about this vision of Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving weekend. The church can help us recover its meaning and perhaps even go deeper and have a richer understanding of what Thanksgiving is all about. We all know that in the New Testament, in the church, Thanksgiving is associated with the Eucharist. The Eucharist actually means Thanksgiving. Right? When we talk about a Thanksgiving meal, we're talking about receiving Holy Communion, restoration with God, and that is what we're most thankful for. In the Divine Liturgy, we say, "Let us lift up our hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord." So we're lifting up our hearts to give thanks. And then later, in the liturgy, after recounting all of the things that God has done for us, from creation to redemption, and even the second coming, after recounting all of these things for which we give thanks, we lift up the bread and the wine, and we say, "Thine own of thine own, we offer unto thee on behalf of all and for all." What does that mean? "But what is yours, we offer back unto you." And this is how we give thanks. By receiving from God and then offering it back. Thanksgiving is a compound word, but if you were to separate it, you would have thanks and you would have giving. And both of these aspects are crucially important to understanding its meaning. This Thanksgiving happens in the context of the Divine Liturgy, and it happens at the Holy Altar. in the Holy of Holies.
This here, in the center
of our lives as a church, is the altar table. And it's within the Holy of Holies. This is what everything revolves around. This is what our focus is. This is what our movement is towards. We come forward to receive this Eucharist, this Thanksgiving meal, as we offer ourselves up as part of Christ's body, the one who offered himself up for the life of the world. We say, what is yours, we offer back to you, each and every one of us. And we celebrate this Thanksgiving. I want to share with you something of the history behind our own Thanksgiving, our own Eucharistic meal. And to do this, we're going to speak a little bit about the feast that we celebrated this past week. What was that feast? The entrance of the Mother of God into the temple. Remember, we had the icon out. We saw the Mother of God as just a 3-year-old child coming to the temple. And then she was led by the priest Zacharias into the Holy of Holies. What was this all about? What does this mean for us, this feast? Sometimes it's very mysterious. We don't really understand it. And there's great meaning behind it. The Mother of God's parents, Saints Joachim and Anna, were very elderly, and they had no children. They were barren. And they prayed to God for a child. And they were granted this daughter, whom they named Mary. And they promised God, who had given them this wonderful gift, that they would dedicate this gift back to him. They would offer it back. What they had received, they would give back. And at the age of 3, they brought this young child, Mary. They were very advanced in age. They couldn't raise her. They knew that they needed the Lord's help. And they brought this child, Mary, to the temple and presented her to the community there. And it wasn't just the priests that were there. There was a whole community that lived in the temple and its compound. There were apartments there for the visiting priests who would come at their time to make their sacrifices. But there was a community there with a school, with charitable centers. This was the very heart of the Jewish kingdom. Not just Jerusalem being the capital, but the temple being the center of that capital. And it was there that Mary was presented. And she was led, as we said, by the priest Zacharias, the father of the forerunner, into the Holy of Holies. And this was extraordinary, because this Holy of Holies was only entered by the high priest once a year. What day was that he would enter the Holy of Holies? The Day of Atonement, right? And what would he bring with him? Blood. The sacrifice of blood. And he would enter into the Holy of Holies. And this is where the Mother of God was granted access. The Jews were infuriated by this. And Zacharias suffered the consequences. The Lord says that he was put to death between the altar and the high place. That he was killed right in the confines of the temple because of this. What did the Mother of God do there in the Holy of Holies? What did she see there? What was kept in the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was kept in the Holy of Holies. And what was within the Ark of the Covenant? What was put there? The stone tablets that Moses had received when he went up the mountain, that had the Ten Commandments inscribed upon them, the Word of God. The jar that kept the manna that fell from heaven in the wilderness to feed the Israelite people. That jar that had the manna was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. And the rod of Aaron that budded forth and blossomed, showing that he was a true priest of God. These items were kept in the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was kept within the Holy of Holies. This was the very deepest mysteries of the Israelite people. Now, when the Virgin enters into the Holy of Holies, does she see the Ark there? No. By this time, it's already been hidden, so that it wouldn't be carried off to Babylon in captivity. The Ark was no longer there. The prophecy was, though, that the Ark would return at the appointed time, when God would show mercy upon his people. So the Virgin Mary enters into the Holy of Holies, and she doesn't see the Ark. She sees that it's not there, that it's missing.
But she knows the history. She remembers everything that God had done for his people. All of these things that were preserved but somehow lost. And she remembers her own life, that she was a gift of God to aged parents who were barren. And that she was dedicated to him, to be of service to him. And she contemplates how she can be of service, what she can do. And she dedicates herself entirely to God. She enters not with the blood of bulls and goats into the Holy of Holies, but she enters with her own life, presenting it to God as an offering. She's the prelude of the preaching of salvation as we sing. A preview of what's to come in the Christ, the Messiah. And she becomes an instrument for God. She becomes that fleshly tablet upon which the word would be written. Right? The word became flesh. Whose flesh? Her flesh. She becomes the jar that holds the bread of life. Christ being the bread of life, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. She becomes the rod of Aaron that gives birth, blossoms forth the true high priest, Christ himself. She becomes the Ark of the Covenant, that one that contained the power of God. She becomes the Holy of Holies. She becomes the temple. She becomes the kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, would reign in. She fulfills all of these mysteries, not because she knew that it would all happen like this, but she fulfills the mysteries because she knew that she trusted God and would give her life to him. And in this self-offering, God would give something better. Think about the chronology here. Joachim and Anna, they receive the gift of the Virgin Mary. They give her back, right? She receives the gift of entering into the temple, the best of what the Israelites had to offer. And she gives herself back. And what happens? Christ gives himself. Everything that is received with thanks and offered back, God multiplies the blessings. What does this mean for us, brothers and sisters, as a parish and as individual persons? When we think about the Israelite kingdom and all of these kind of concentric circles, with the Holy of Holies in the very center, we know that all of the people were to inherit these blessings. God had planned to offer this salvation to everyone. And all of the world would then receive this great gift of Christ. But there were some who knew it better, some who participated in it more. And they were the people that were closer to Christ. The Virgin Mary entered into the Holy of Holies and perceived its mysteries. She came to understand what all of these types and figures and all of this symbolism and all of this was all about. She perceived the mysteries because she moved towards the center, and that center is Christ. You know, in this parish, we have concentric circles. Geographically, certainly. You know, we have like a compound here, not as glorious as maybe the Old Testament temple, but the priests live on site, right? We have people who live in the local vicinities, people out in the diaspora, so to speak. We have people all over. And we have people who are coming closer to Christ through the church. People who are approaching the Holy of Holies. There's an expression that's sometimes used that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's the 80-20 rule. Who's heard that? It's called the Pareto principle. Sometimes we think, well, is that how it is in our church? I'll tell you, it is. That's how it is in every church. That's how it was in the Old Testament. You know, that's how it's meant to be. Is that right? Is that how it's meant to be? Doesn't seem fair? Doesn't seem equitable? It's meant to be that way only when we understand that people on the outside are to move closer to make room for new people on the outside ranks. The closer we go to Christ, the closer we go to the center, the more we actually draw in more people. And yes, they start out in the 80%, but they're moving towards the 20%. They're moving towards Christ. The 80-20 rule is something that's not only real, but it's something that can be beneficial if we understand it. But we have to be moving towards the center as a parish. And I've seen that here. I've seen people who have come, and they're thankful for this community. They're appreciative of what's here. And then they start to give themselves to this community. Then they start to become instruments for God. They start to serve as altar servers or choir members, ushers, readers. They make food for the coffee hour. They clean up afterwards. They do landscaping. They do the construction. They become council members, perhaps. Some are ordained. They move from being thankful and appreciative to giving back, to offering themselves to the community. And God blesses that. And more people are joined. What about as individual persons? We've been talking about how to live within the context of the kingdom within. To not be too concerned with external things, whether it be our wealth on earth or even our wealth in heaven. To be people who enter within the kingdom of God that resides by grace within the human heart. The Virgin Mary did this. She entered the Holy of Holies externally, but she entered also the Holy of Holies internally. She entered into her heart. She found her true self. She knew, maybe not the details of her destiny, but she knew that her destiny was found with Christ in God through this self-offering, through this giving. Do we perceive that mystery in our own lives? When we think about the externals, do we realize that God gave us all of these externals, not just to be thankful for them, but also to offer them back so that they become instruments of His work? Think about our time. God gave us time, not for ourselves, but so that we could use it for His glory, for the benefit of our neighbor. Think about our treasure. It's the same thing. We could do such great work for God if we realize that the treasure entrusted to us is in the context of stewardship, so that we could use it for His work. What about our talents? We've been gifted with intelligence or a good heart or a certain skill set. We can use these things not just to advance ourselves, but we can use these things for the Lord's work, to advance His kingdom. We need people with skills. The church needs people with talents. And God can use them and multiply them if we don't bury them in the earth. Think about our relationships. And this is where it gets very deep. We should be thankful for our relationships, everyone that's in our lives, our spouses, our children, family, our friends, fellow parishioners. We should be thankful for one another. But if we're only thankful, we haven't gone far enough. Because we haven't found our deep heart. We haven't understood the mystery
of the Eucharist.
We haven't understood the Holy of Holies, where we encounter God, and we have communion with Him, and we have communion with one another. The way into the Holy of Holies in our relationships is by not just being thankful for others, but by giving ourselves to others. What would our relationships be like if we weren't just appreciative, but we gave ourselves entirely for the other? We would find our destiny in doing that. Brothers and sisters, the Mother of God, when she entered the temple into the Holy of Holies, she realized that this was all set up by God for the salvation of His people. And she realized that this was set up for her own salvation too. So that she could not only show gratitude, but so that she could also offer herself up. As we come to the church, as we stand before the altar table in the Holy of Holies, as we begin to ponder these mysteries, we must understand, brothers and sisters, that this was set up so that we would enter our own Holy of Holies, the kingdom within. And that the only way to enter there is with thanks and with giving. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.